here.
Warren.
Here.
Paul.
Yes.
Jim.
Here.
Brenda. Josie and Bailey SB. Jay, as well as Tom. Samantha.
Here.
We have a call.
Okay. Thank you. And King Cove office.
Your Honor, we have Chris, Warren, Jackie, and Stewart Jr.
Thank you. Cole Bay. Nelson Lagoon.
Just me.
Thank you, Sam. Falls Pass. Sand Plain. We have Beverly, Alvin, Paul, and Jim. Actan. Anchorage.
Yes, ma'am. Back myself, Annie, Glenora, Ernie, Charlotte, and Talia.
Okay. Thank you. We do have a quorum. We need a motion to adopt the agenda.
Make a motion, Warren.
Thank you.
I'll second it, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Anybody see any corrections needed on the agenda? Hearing none. If there's no objections, the agenda will stand as presented. Public comments on any agenda items? Hearing none. Anybody feel they may have a conflict of interest with any of the agenda items? Hearing none. We need a motion for certification of the October 3rd, 2023 regular election.
This is Chris. I make a motion for the October 3rd elections.
Thank you, Chris.
This is Jim. I'll second.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. So, does anybody have any discussion or anything on the election? Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mayor of the Baton Assembly. This is the certification of October 3, 2023 regular election. Everything went well during the election except for getting the materials out of King Cove in a timely manner due to the post office delays. But once we received the materials, the Canvas Committee met on October 13 at 10 a.m. to review the election materials and count the last absentee votes. There were 18 absentee ballots, 2 question ballots, and 27 by mail only ballots. And there is 1 question ballot that was not counted because it wasn't registered in a borough. So the results of the October 3 2023 regular elections are below. For Mayor Alvin D. Osterbach, Assembly Seat A, Warren Wilson, Assembly Seat F, Josephine Cheyenne. For the School Board Seat C, Hillary Smith. For the School Board Seat C, Carla Chetnoy. Included in the report is the 2023 regular election results, the Canvas Committee report, and the voting percentages by community. So it is there for you to look at. If you have any questions, just let me know.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Beverly? Okay. Hearing none. Question on the motion.
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Okay, sir.
Okay, thank you. So, next item on the agenda is swearing in new elected officials. Beverly. Go ahead, stand up and do that.
Yes.
I, Alvin D. Ostbach, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the State of Alaska and the laws and ordinances of the Aleutian Peace Borough, State of Alaska, and that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform the duties of mayor. Help me God. And you're up, Warren.
Here's Warren for you here. I, Warren Wilson, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the State of Alaska and the laws and ordinances of the Aleutian Peace Borough, State of Alaska, and that I will honestly, faithfully, and impartially perform the duties of assembly member, so help me God. And I signed it, and Jackie got it to get it over to Beverly.
Okay, thank you. So, and then we have Assembly Member Josephine Shanigan. She is out of the area today, so her swearing in will be done at the November meeting. So, with that, congratulations to all the people getting elected to their seat. A lot of you I know, I think most everybody retained their seat, so everybody in Aleutian Peace Borough School Board and the Borough Assembly, appreciate your service and welcome back. So before us we have minutes. We need a motion for the minutes of September 14th, 2023.
I make a motion, Chris.
Warren, second. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Warren. Any discussion on September 14th? Minute? Hearing none. Question on the motion.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion.
Okay, thank you. So before us we have, we need a motion for September 20th, 2023 minute.
This is Jim. I'll make the motion.
Thank you. I'll second it, Chris.
Thanks, Chris. Everybody's had a chance to go over your minutes. Anybody see any corrections that need to be or additions to the minute? Not? Question on the motion?
Paul?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Juan?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. Before us is the financials for August, and we need a motion to bring it to the floor.
This is Chris. I make a motion that we bring the financials to the floor for August 23.
Thank you.
Jim, I'll second.
Thanks, Jim. Annie.
I am, yes, Mayor, Spreck Assembly, before you are the August 2023 financials. This is the second month into the fiscal year, so it should be around 16.6% of the year-to-date budget. The only thing I think I'll point out today is the fish tax revenue, which is line R01218. In August of 2023, we did bring in $545,624 worth of fish tax revenue, which is about 4.8% higher than the five-year average. So we're still doing all right in August. So with that, everything else seems to be tracking along. And if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions for Annie?
This is Chris here in King Cole. I have a couple.
Go ahead.
On page 2 of 18, under Department 200 Administration, engineering there, I see that's almost 70% already. What does that consist of?
So the engineering is the work we do at Dow, and that's kind of our agreement with them to do engineering work for us or project management.
Okay, and then I had another question. On page 4 of 18, Department 900, other, the insurance, that's just because we pay once a year. Yeah, okay. Jackie answered that question.
Yeah, that's paid up front, and there may be one or two more payments for, like, non-owned airport liability or something that comes up. But, yes, everything's paid up front.
Okay, and then I have one other question. On page 8 of 18, the travel and per diem, we're already at 390%. What does that consist?
So that is for the COD tagging grant.
Okay.
So that's a grant project, and I can't speak on behalf of that, but Charlotte's right there. So is that the right grant here? Yeah, he said the travel's at 390.
Oh, yeah, okay, so that's under the grant. So we actually just went through, we're in the process of it right now, but we are doing a reallocation within that grant. So at this time, it looks over budget, but once the budget amendment goes through, that will be back kind of tracking like normal. It won't look like it's so high over.
Okay, that's all, Ed. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Other questions? Hearing none. Question on the motion.
Paul?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. So in your package is your investment report, the APCM August 2023. That's there for your review. Annie, do you have any comments on it?
No, I did look today, and as of this afternoon, the balance was $44,580,000. There's some change. So it has decreased slightly since August 31st.
44,000, you said?
I mean, 44 million, goodness sake.
Oh, thank you.
44 million, yeah.
Hello, this is Brenda, I'm here.
Oh, good to hear you. Okay, so we don't have anything under consent or public hearings, ordinances, resolutions. So our next item up is old business, which is Sandpoint School Memorandum.
Mayor, I'm looking online in the pack, and I did never get that memorandum. I don't have it.
Memorandum for what?
Under the agenda. I have everything else that it appears, but I don't have that.
Sorry, which one did you did not receive?
The under new business. Under old business, Sandpoint School.
It should be included in the pack.
Yeah, I have it. It's in the packet.
Yeah.
Resolutions on the business.
Oh. There you go. That's
fine. Pool.
Yeah, that's
still. Oh, it's just the pool. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Annie?
Yes, Mayor Speck and Assembly. So in the packet is an update on the Sandpoint pool. This just is an overview of all the work that's been done since 2002 to the present. And basically, in September, a lot of activity began this year. So on September 18th, during that week, Living Waters, New Flow, who's a subcontractor, and Dow, who acted as our project and management, arrived in Sandpoint to complete the initial scope of work, which is $114,000 to work on some recirculation line. Once they were on site, it was determined that the plans that we had didn't actually meet what was occurring within the pool. There were more circulation lines. The surge tank had some massive damage where you could stick your thumb through, like there were some thumb-sized holes within the surge tank, and other things were identified. So there's a summary of all of the items that were approved in a short period of time just because they were on site and we needed to get it done. So we replaced the flush meters in the restrooms. They worked on the surge tank. They did the drain boxes, which is at the bottom of the swimming pool. Those were done incorrectly, and everything, keep in mind, is extremely old, but those were needed work. Then we did a flow meter installation, which is required for the pumps to work, and then these items took a lot longer than we originally anticipated, so there was additional work time, and then we also had Dow on site to conduct project management to make sure things were occurring properly, time was being accounted for properly, and then they could report back to Dow when issues would arise. That being said, I wish I had better news, but they filled up the pool, and the pool is still leaking at a rate of about 2.5 inches per evening, which is equivalent of about 5,000 gallons of water. They've seen that the water is going out into a leach field, so they've identified where the water is going, which is a plus because we didn't know prior to this, but the water is still leaking. So we are working with Leah, who's the pool manager, Dow, and then we're going to initiate more conversations with the contractors to figure out what's going on, because literally we have done every facet of the pool I can possibly think of to try to repair, but it is still leaking. So Leah is currently keeping track of the water loss on a daily basis, and then we're going to re-put our heads together to try to figure out what's going on. So I really wish I had better news. When I found out, it was just not a very good day. Let's just put it that way. But we are trying to figure out what is occurring, and hopefully I'll have better news for you guys here soon. So I just really wanted to give you an update of what's going on. There's a summary of what we've expended to date, which is about $712,000, and it also goes with which grant source or funding source I've used. So we've used the ARPA monies, and now we've rolled into the LATCF funds, which I hope is okay with you because it's for maintenance, and that was authorized originally, but we've been using that for maintenance for this. So if you have any questions, please let me know, and I will try to answer them as best as I can.
Questions for Addie? This has been a long project for me, trying to figure this out. Paul?
Okay. I'll try to keep my comments, Mr. Mayor, as short as I can. But we've been doing it for over a year, trying to fix the pools. So I'll give my version of where we are with the pool. You can break it down into three distinct categories. You can even compare it to a fishing boat and a tank, say a crab tank, whatever you want to call it, or a salmon hole. So we've got the pool, we've got the liner in place. So of the three things associated with the pool, you could say, well, that part is kind of done. Then you got the pump house and the treatment, and kind of like the engine room, and you could kind of say it looks like maybe that part is done. So the only thing left is a plumber. And they tried, we said to a couple of meetings ago, they were going to try this, some fancy liner inside the plumbing, and that didn't work. And if you look at the minutes, I think there was a suggestion that if that doesn't work, you've just got to dig a hole and fix it. And I think you can, there's no other option but to get a cement saw, and there's steel on top of the cement for non-skid. So just cut the steel, cut the cement, dig a hole in 2 days, you'll find where the leak is. You just got to dig down and find out where the leak is, and it's not that hard. If it was a fishing boat, it'd be done. You'd be, if you had a problem in your fishing boat where the plumbing was leaking, you'd fix it in time for the season, which might be a week or two away. We're over a year away. I can't think of an excuse. We're out of excuses. So your solution is dig a hole. And the time to do it was yesterday. So I'm just tired of talking about it. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments?
Annie, maybe you can, or Talia can educate us again. Exactly where is the pool leaking from?
Well, that's what we're not sure. We've done the liner, we've done the gutters, we've done the surge tank, we've done the line, we've fixed everything in the pump room, so now we're trying to narrow it down, so we're not really sure. We've kind of touched every basis that we can. So now we're watching where it's leaking, and hopefully we can pinpoint it there.
But we're losing water in the pool. I mean, after the water's in the pool, we're losing into the water over a period of time, correct?
Yes, that is true.
So, Paul, I don't understand where your reasoning comes in with digging a hole and cutting cement. Maybe you can clarify that a little bit more?
Sure. There, between the pump house, which is close to the pool, and the pool, the plumbing is probably leaking there, and you just have to dig to find it. It won't kind of tell you where the leak is. It's like any other leak in your city plumbing or the sewer plumbing or, in this case, the swimming pool. You just have to follow the line, and you'll find it. It's pretty, if you... And water is leaking outside, I believe. And when the pool's half full, you don't have the leak. So if you go back to Greek days, you could get Archimedes, who was pretty good at figuring out water puzzles and solve the problem. But you just got to follow the line from the pump house to the pool until you find it. It probably won't be that hard.
So are you saying then that you're talking about like the return line, like the filtration after it's filled up and then it's returning back to the pump house for filtration?
I think it's the supply line from the pump house to the pool. But until you dig to find it, or you can cut all the lines off and make a new supply line to the pool, but that wouldn't be logical. The logical thing is get a cement saw, and there's a little steel liner on top, or non-skid on top. It's got a, you know, 6-foot trench or 10-foot trench, and find out where that line is. I don't know if there's any drawings, we'll narrow it down, but I don't know if there's any contractor here now. There's nobody here now. So nobody's working on them. So it was my pool or my boat with the same problem, I'd be down there working on it.
Circulate the water, so there's a lot of issues.
Okay, thank you, Paul, for that clarification.
Other comments, questions?
question?
Yeah, Warren here. I just want to make a comment on the task involved with the swimming pool there, and my hat is off to you guys trying to get to the bottom of it, and I know there's a lot of piping goes on with the sump and then the filtration system and the filling lines, and you know, like you see, you got the liner, so that's out of the picture. So I will leave you guys with that note, but I know it's really trying, and everybody trying to get down to the bottom of the pool here, and I know that we had the earthquake, so we got to give ourselves some room to be able to work through this, and we'll get there one of these days. Thanks again.
Okay. Thank you, Laura. Other comments?
Yeah, this is Brenda. At the beginning, Annie, at the beginning, in your first bullet on this memo that you put out here, it says the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Evolution Pools to perform maintenance on the Sandpoint Pool. And I don't want to buy Sandpoint Pool. We could change that pool to pool in an amount not to exceed $280,030.
Thank you. That was a typo.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, you guys have to give yourself credit. That everything is being done at a time that you can do it, and we only have so many pool contractors in the state of Alaska, and there is a lot of pools. And there's a lot of pools that are being used this time of year for a lot of things. So, I mean, every time Sandpoint has an earthquake over there, you guys are sitting on a rock. So it just tends, that pool, we've got to work on it and get it functional, but we've got to do it in a way that's safe and effective, and, good Lord, costs a lot of money. All righty, thank you.
Yes. Other comments?
Chris here again. I kind of agree with what everybody else is saying. You know, we certainly need to fix what we've got over there. And, you know, I know that we'd like to fix it to where it would last another, you know, a long time. And we know how important it is. And so I appreciate what the administration is doing. And hopefully we can get to the bottom of this and rectify this, and they can be swimming again pretty soon. So thank you.
Okay. Other comments? And going back to Paul's comments, Andy has actually heard these before, parts of them, because every time I get really frustrated with this pool, I go in her office or I call her up and I tell her, you know, if this was a crap tank on a boat, it's got a... water goes in, water comes out, water circulates. Why the heck can't we get this fixed? So I'm as frustrated as anybody is on this thing. So we'll keep pushing forward. We've got to get it fixed. And I think this last few weeks here with our engineer on site and three different contractors doing their parts in it, that a lot of things got repaired that needed to get fixed. I think a lot of the water that was going out early on when it would get down partway was due to problems in the surge tank, and I think we got those taken care of. And then a lot of the lines were basically, you couldn't take them out, so we relined them. And I think there's just a couple more spots for them that they're going to have to figure out how to get to, and then we'll bring it back to you guys. But hopefully when we come back next time, it'll be done. But we'll keep moving. Okay, with that,
Mr. Mayor, we've got one suggestion to fly the staff off and have them stay here until it's fixed, until we get fixed.
Yeah, they could cook for the contractors. That would be something. So I don't think that's I don't think that's an option. It's not that they're in Anchorage and they don't care and they're not doing anything. They're having nothing, but we have meetings on this pool almost daily, working on it. So whether they're here or whether they're in Anchorage, the work is getting done. But I know you're frustrated with it, so is everybody else, but punishing the Anchorage staff, I don't think, is a proper way to get the job done. So with that, under new business, we have the Actan Trident and planned land ownership information. I think this was brought up at the last meeting. Somebody was asking, I don't know which assembly member did, and asked questions on it, and I think this would be Ernie's.
Yes, sir.
For questions. Well, Ernie, start off. Hold on a minute, Ernie. Go ahead.
Weren't we supposed to have a report by Joe Sullivan? What happened?
Mr. Mayor, do you want me to speak to that, or?
Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks for that question. So I was going to bring it up in my report. So I think I mentioned this before. We kind of have to go through a process each time we bring up a new issue with him for legal. So we just got the agreement for representation, which he goes through for conflict of interest purposes. And so we did just respond to him and have that in place. So now he's just going to provide a scope as well as a timeline and a budget to get that analysis over to us. So we don't have the analysis yet, but we have the representation letter in place.
That should come with a report after this. Okay, Ernie, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So we looked at this information a little bit when everybody was in Anchorage, except for Josie, who's not here again. This is just some research I did. Any mistakes or errors are mine. It was mostly done through the Alaska Department of Natural Resources search portal. There's a link in case anybody wants to do their own searching. But basically, there's about 40 acres that Trident owns in Acatan that has a history, which is kind of on the second page. A guy named William Logan inherited it from his parents. His parents got it from his grandfather, who had bought the American Whaling Company. On page two, you can see the general areas where these three sites are. They're USS 1143, 1144, and 1145. And 1145 is where the majority of the Trident plant is on. And on page three is the document that's the kind of the source document that shows that he owned it enough to lease and then sell to Trident. I was not able to get any further than this, but it's basically his word that he inherited it, so I guess that's what we're taking, his word. And there's a little bit of a timeline that he did, so that he signed that document in 75, and then in 77 he leased those lands to Trident, and then eventually conveyed them to Trident. And that's basically the information that's there. It's pretty brief. I have dozens and dozens of documents that came from the DNR website, but I didn't include them. And we'll keep looking, see what we can find. But that's all I have, Mr. Mayor, in case there's questions. I'm here.
Okay, thank you. No, that's a pretty neat report. I like that when I got a hold of that thing. So, any, Paul?
Okay, I'll just add a little bit to her to report things that I may or may not know. From the whaling days, Mr. Logan patented all that land around there, and then when he had to move from where the fisherman's terminal to Lake Washington, he patented a lot of land where Bellevue is now, and to this day, the grandson, I believe, still owns a lot of property in downtown Bellevue that he leases. So that person's still around. Free, I guess it's a lot longer story than that. However, that part of it was kind of interesting. But thank you.
Other comments? Okay. Reports and updates. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osprack, and somebody in the packets of my report. There's a few things on the King Cove Road since the last report in September. U.S. Fish and Wildlife has started working on the Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement. Fish and Wildlife initially scheduled its first government-to-government meeting in King Cove on September 25th. However, due to the volcano, they were not able to make it that day, and then they ended up doing a virtual meeting on September 28th. It wasn't ideal, but I think they made it work as best as they could. So there was testimonies given at the event. So now they've, U.S. Fish and Wildlife has agreed to do biweekly meetings to discuss and monitor the supplemental process, and they'll begin answering questions on technical process questions and things of that nature. So that is moving forward. And other than that, we also found out that Tommy Boudreau, who is the Deputy Secretary of Interior, who has been to King Cove and involved in this project, has resigned. And his last day was October 4th, 2023, and we at this point don't know who will be appointed in that position. So there's a little bit shift there in leadership. Any questions on the King Cove Road? Okay, so the Sandpoint Pool update, we've kind of already gone over there, but it's in here again for your information. There is a Cold Bay Terminal update. So we had Gold Construction respond to the work order that we issued. They're in the process of working with myself and Dow to fine-tune the scope of work and the cost of the project. And then I think there may have been a few other items that have been identified, but these will include like fixing sheetrock and windows and things like that, so we keep the terminal in a functional manner, if you will. So we're working on that. The cargo door also has been damaged, but we are going to work with Door Systems of Alaska, who's gone out there and repaired our doors in the past and have familiarity with it. So we're working on them and getting them out there to fix the door. The Cold Bay Clinic design is at 65%. We went over it with Eastern Aleutian Tribes, the city, and Dow this morning to make sure all the players are happy with how the design's going. There's only like one thing I think we need to change, and other than that, we are ready to go. So Dow is now preparing the bid documents for a contractor, and we're doing a contractor management general contractor service, so the MGC contract, which will they'll help us complete the 95% design, lock in costs, and then we'll start construction with the hope to have the work done by next spring. So that's exciting. One other thing is with the False Pass School, there were some surge problems with electricity. We already have Wired AK under contract to do some electrical work out there, but that's to deal with fire exit signs and things of that nature. So Wired AK and Dow have been working with the city of False Pass electrician to figure out like what the problem is, and then hopefully Wired AK can go out there this week and address those issues so that that's fixed. So we're working on that as quickly as we can to get somebody out there to fix that. And then other than that, I'd just like to point out that the assembly meeting in November is not the second Thursday of the month due to Fish Expo. It is now Thursday, November 16th, so it's the following week. So please make sure you've got that on your schedule, and then the December meeting is scheduled at its regular time on the 14th. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Questions for Andy?
Paul, just one quick question on the December last Municipal League meeting. I'm looking at the calendar, trying to arrange what I'm doing, but I think it applies to all the assembly. But in the past, any assembly member wants to go to the last Municipal League, I think they go and the staff shows up. But and then the meeting's about a week after that. But that's not, you're not suggesting any changes there. You're going to have a meeting the week after the, I think that's why the meeting's a week, or about a week later, is because of the Alaska Municipal League.
In December?
Yes, I believe so.
No, it's the right day in December.
December is regular meeting.
Same yes. Day, yeah, okay.
November is the one we have.
I'm getting mixed up with the Fish Expo meeting, which is a week later, I guess.
Yeah,
that one's okay, just reviewing the data.
Okay.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. Again. Other questions for Annie? Okay. Thank you, Annie. Call again.
Okay. Good afternoon, Mayor and Assembly. My report is in the packet. I'm going to go ahead and start off with the Healthy and Equitable Communities HEC grant. This is a grant for the morgues in False Pass in the city of Nelson Lagoon. The most recent update that I have is on October 10th, I did submit the quarterly reporting over to the state of Alaska. They did approve the purchase of the morgues. I have reached out to the vendor Affordable Funeral Supply, and where we are is they're still in the process of actually building the morgues themselves. They're waiting on the slides where the cadaver could be essentially laid. The original vendor that they were using recently went out of business, so they're going through a whole new company, which is why things are taking a little bit longer than we anticipated. But by November, I did hear that they should be able to give me a good date or a tentative date on when they'll go ahead and ship those morgues out. And from there, we'll go ahead and contact Dow and E to go ahead and schedule that so they can go ahead and set that up. We're going to go ahead and move on to the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development Grant. I won't go into too much depth into this because Annie did a pretty great job during the workshop earlier. But essentially where we are is we are waiting to hear back from E. September 1st, we did go ahead and submit all the applications and supplemental funding requests that we are, again, requesting. The budget, the project has increased from $2.9 million to $6.8 million. So it's pretty essential that we hear back. And again, this is something we'll go ahead and keep the assembly updated on as we do hear back. Jumping down to Councilman Hunsaker, this is our pool specialist, and most recent update on the 20th, we did receive the final maintenance plan and OM manual package. Both these files should be considered working and ongoing documents that the borough and the school district will use regularly, review, and update. There's no time as of yet when we'll go ahead and proceed to the next phase, which is the request for proposal. They will be assisting us with drafting a solid scope of work. Again, with everything going haywire with the pool, time will tell. But again, I will keep a close eye on this and keep everyone updated. As far as long boiler updates, they have successfully completed boiler repair and maintenance in with the Cold Bay Terminal, the King Cove School, as well as Falls Pass. With the Sandpoint School, during their visit on September 18th, they did find a component with boiler number one that wasn't working properly. That part does need to be replaced, and they have submitted a proposal to us that we have accepted. And right now we're just waiting back to hear on when those parts will be received. As far as the Accutan School, Long is tentatively scheduled to be out there around the 23rd. They did have to postpone their initial visit due to the volcano and as well as some parts repair. Ice services. So our servers are at the end of their lifespan, and on the 30th of August, the borough did sign into agreement with ICE for two servers. Both servers have now been received, and Dow is tentatively scheduling for the migration to take place on the 20th of October, so sometime this week, hopefully. Maintenance connection, I will be in Sandpoint tomorrow through Thursday to do some training with the Sandpoint School, the staff, and personnel on how to use the maintenance connection site, putting in work orders, making edits, uploading documents. So that should be good. I'm really excited about my visit. It should work out pretty well. And then finally, I have the regular meetings attended, and we have spent quite a lot of time meeting pretty much every week, I would say, Annie, with the Sandpoint circulation line and repairs. So, again, that's all that I have. If anyone has any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Talia. Questions? Paul?
There's been two boiler people, independent from what we're doing, I think, that have been in town the last month occasionally, and they're pretty competent, and I assume they're licensed. But that's they're working with the tribe on the rebuilding, putting a new boiler in, which I think they've completed all the work, and Carl's building, putting a new boiler. So anyway, we might just keep in touch with them. Sometimes there's a shortage of boiler people, and there's an emergency. It'd be nice to have these people, perhaps,
when, particularly when they're in town already, to kind of, if there was something to do, it might work out. That's all. Just kind of update on that. I don't know if anybody else. I met them actually in person. They seem like pretty competent. And everything I've heard, they're competent.
That's good to know. Other questions? Comments?
Yeah, this is Chris here in King Cove.
Okay.
I just have a question on the morgues. I see that it talks about going through Dal and at least Eastern Aleutian tribes to install these. What kind of morgues are these? The one that we got in King Cove was pretty much come off the boat and was already built and everything, and we just had to plug it in. I'd really like to see these things put in place as soon as possible. False Pass has already had to use ours twice because they can't hold bodies there in False Pass. So I just don't want it to be a lengthy process where we have to bring a bunch of people in to install this thing. And I was just kind of curious what they're actually getting. Is it something that has to be built by an engineer once it gets to town, or is it already all built and just needs to have a place to put and plug in?
Great question. So this is pre-built. It should be pretty simple. They just plug it in. I think the biggest issue that they're anticipate they might have is with the breaker box itself, to make sure that there's enough energy going through to support it. But that's pretty much it. So it should be pretty simple, like I said, should be, but we never know, which is why we have Dow and EAT support through this project. Essentially, this is EAT's project that we are working with them with, but again, we just asked Dow to step in to make sure that things run successfully, smoothly.
Okay, yeah, I think we probably got pretty much the same thing that you purchased for Nelson Lagoon and False Pass and Cold Bay, and it's basically just a cooler with a refrigeration unit on top. Ours is also a two-person, and it just plugs right into a normal 120, 110 plug-in, so there's no, there's nothing. It's just like a refrigerator, basically, is what it is, so.
Yes, I agree. Pretty simple what we got, and we're hoping to make an easy transition when we get it in.
Good. So, are they pre-tested too? When you never mind. Any other questions for Talia? Okay. Thank you, Talia.
Thank you.
Ernie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Assembly. My report is also in the packet. Start off with the Board of Fish. We had a good week last week. There is new leadership at the board. The chair is John Wood and the vice chair is Tom Carpenter. The agenda change requests that we were concerned with, ACR 2 and ACR 3, were rejected by votes of 1-6, which is great news. I wanted to congratulate, give thanks, whatever, to all the, all the processors had reps there, the Ariam Saners, Camp, our team, me, Charlotte, and the mayor. And there was no public testimony, but talking to people outside of the meeting, in the hallways, during breaks, is all very important, and it has seemed to have worked out well. I did extract a couple of the important public comments, the mayor's letter, the Saner's comments, which are very lawyerly and put out a good argument why it was unnecessary, and then the Saner's report, PC 27, which Charlotte helped write. Again, it was a good week for us. What else did they do? They did some other stuff, but they rejected, of the 13, they rejected 9. They only accepted 4 ACRs. 3 of those the department told them they probably should accept. So they kind of went with the department. Again, a good week. Before that was the North Pacific Council, and Angel was elected the chair of that, Angel Drobnica with a PICTA, and we've supported her in her bid for it. Oh, I wanted to mention it during, on the 12th, the evening of the first meeting, they had a little thing for
John Jensen. It was real nice. I'm hoping that the assembly might put together a resolution of thanks. His 20 years on the Board of Fish has been real helpful for us. And he's also looking to get re-upped on the North Pacific Council, and we may want to support him in that, depending on how you guys feel. There was the big thing at the North Pacific Council was pollock and chum bycatching the pollock fishery, and there was a lot of people there, and I testified by request by one of the council members, and she thanked me afterwards. It was a good week. And in December, I will note that the December meeting, the AML meeting, falls within the December meeting of the North Pacific Council. I attended on October 9th. I took a day off from the council without missing too much to go to the Yunnan listening session on environmental justice. I was really intrigued with it. It sounds like there was some feedback to Annie on it, but it was good, and I did sign up for the task force working group to move forward on environmental justice affecting people in our region. And we've been working on the crab disaster spend plan. We actually had a meeting today where they came out with a draft spend plan. They're going to come out with another one after they get initial comment. We'll probably sign on to a letter asking for a little bit more money for communities. These fishery disaster spend plans, communities are now able to take some of those funds just directly to replace lost fish tax revenue. You used to have to designate it to a fishery project. You don't have to do that anymore. Thanks to Senator Sullivan and Murkowski, we can do it on this crab disaster spend plan as well. And we finally got the Port Mueller Lot 2 lease signed. And one meeting I did not put on here was the Alaska Salmon Research Task Force, November 14th and 15th, which will be at the Egan. And I guess I will be covering that because Charlotte will be covering the groundfish planting, and Charlotte and I have been splitting up meetings rather well lately. So that's all I got. Thank you. Is there anybody on?
I was on mute. Thank you, Ernie. I have a question for you.
Yeah. Ernie, as you've been following, everybody has too, little controversy with the Kuskokwim River Management, state versus feds, and AFN just recently, the Alley Corporation, not part of AFN anymore, I'm pretty sure, and some other groups. But AFN sided with feds for federal management of Kuskokwim River. And the state is battling them. But I'm just wondering, I'm kind of thinking we should check with the commissioner, see if he would like a group intervening on the state's behalf. The department was pretty good backing us on our salmon agenda change request again. And anyway, I know I kind of think we should think about it, but maybe the resource department and the administration can get together and see if that's something that's appropriate for the assembly to get involved with. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. I would mention that I was happy to see none of the AFN resolutions are attacking our region and our fisheries, so that was good news. I would be hesitant to stick my nose between the commissioner and a native group, but that would be up to the assembly and or the mayor.
This is Brenda. Okay. I really don't think it's appropriate to do that. I don't.
Other comments? Okay. So, Ernie, you may want to draft up a resolution for John there for maybe the next assembly meeting that we could maybe adopt?
Sure, in recognition of his 20 years of service or in recommending him for North Dakota Council?
Well, I would do two of them because I think we want to keep him.
Very good, thank you, yeah.
Okay. So, if there's no other questions for Ernie, Charlotte.
Okay, thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. So I'll go through my normal projects. So BC Ventolic is kind of finally picking up, and I think it's going to last probably through tomorrow, and is expected to be fully fished, which is great. We had a few unexpected issues this season with EM because we had some changing of markets, and the vessel's kind of moving around a bit in response to some of the market dynamics that have been going on with Pollock. So we handled all of them, but it's just kind of making us realize we need to think about how to build in some flexibility under the regulated program, as this seems to be possibly a new norm with how the market is these days. So Eric from Core Data and I are meeting to kind of talk about how to handle some of those issues going forward. Myself and Chelsea Riddell from the Alaska Groundfish Data Bank finalized our very last NIFLIS proposal for this project that will just cover the gap year for 2024, and we just submitted that this morning. We did receive our letter of support from the North Pacific Council, and just in the past council meeting last week, we also submitted a joint letter to the council under agenda item C2 for the observer ADP requesting that the coverage levels, the observer coverage levels for the partial coverage trawl fleet remain at the 33% coverage level under the ADP as it was submitted. It was looking to significantly reduce coverage in the trawl sector, which we all around thought was a terrible idea. So moving on to salmon, as Ernie mentioned, I assisted the Saners with a June postseason report. It just kind of outlined the program, how it went, and some of the harvest and program stats. So I put a link in my packet. You can go and view that report on page 80. And I'm currently going through the final fish and game harvest numbers. I just received the new data set from Matt Keyes last week, and we actually weren't very off. Our chum numbers were pretty much spot on from the portal to what the final fish ticket numbers were. So I was pretty pleased about that. There's a bit of work to be done with sockeye, but I've got a meeting with Matt to kind of talk about how we can maybe reduce some of that error and how to improve the reporting metrics for next year, assuming this program continues. For the cod tagging project, so there was a little bit of a hiccup in the financials for this grant. I didn't realize that this was my first grant submitting the 10% de minimis indirect, and it was my mistake. I didn't realize that you could actually only take up to 10% of any subaward or contract for the first $25,000. And so I, of course, took the 10% for the full contract amount. So we were about $66,000 off in the indirect, which I just needed to reallocate to the rest of the grant for for direct costs. So I worked with the PAC State's grant monitor for that. We reallocated the funds, we amended the most recent reimbursement, and then we're finalizing a budget scope and amendment to reallocate some of those funds elsewhere, which I've looped Jackie in on, and that was part of my answer to Chris's question earlier about that per diem. And so once that amendment goes through, you'll see kind of the budget change a little bit and go back to normal. So I'm working on that. This grant is also part of the single audit, so I'm just kind of helping as needed, which has been pretty simple so far, giving the auditors what they need. The project team's hosting our first PCOD workshop on November 28th and 29th at the Alaska Fisheries Science Center. This is not a broad public workshop. It's just a smaller one prior to field efforts to bring all of the COD researchers in and kind of see how we can leverage data and field opportunities and kind of get the most bang for our buck with COD research. So that's happening in November. I will be in Seattle for that. Just a quick tag update from Kingfisher Marine. So we've had 52 recoveries so far, and we've heard from 47 of the 54 satellite tags that we've put out. And the 7 remaining tags are supposed to pop up next June. So we tested trying to leave some tags out for a full year all the way through to the next summer to see if we could get that kind of information back. So, but the rest of them have popped up, and interestingly, so we had 10 of the satellite tags that popped up from the Western Gulf moved to the Bering Sea, and so of all of the tags, 20 or 19 of them were tagged in the 3 most western sites, which were all Western Gulf, so that means about 50% of our fish moved from the Western Gulf to the Bering Sea, which is kind of interesting because, of course, last year we had much lower movement, so we're seeing a lot of interannual variability in that, which is complicates the picture more, but I still think it's really interesting to see that. Just 2 quick things I'll touch on for the council meeting. So Ernie went over most of the big issues that went up. I did attend 2 separate workshops. So the first was the Trawl Performance Standard Workshop. OLE hosted this workshop to try to get feedback from stakeholders on how to make the current Trawl Performance Standard enforceable. The standard is really just there to ensure that pelagic trawl nets don't come in contact with the bottom. And they basically have a metric right now that says if you have greater than 20 crab in your haul, that's considered touching the bottom, and you've exceeded the standard, and you get penalized for that. However, there's a lot of issues with the way they collect that data, and so it's currently not enforceable. Long story short, there was a lot of debate from stakeholders about the council's directive in the first place and what the objective really was, so there was no consensus on how to move forward. There was also a lot of confusion that this workshop included the Gulf of Alaska when this stemmed from the Bering Sea Red King Crab analysis, so it really should have been focused solely on the Bering Sea. So all of this is going to be taken up at a later stakeholder meeting and then again at the council. And I just bring this up because it's kind of opening the box to investigate how to restrict pelagic trawl nets, and they're also trying to revisit the definition of pelagic versus bottom trawl. And there's a lot of pushback on the use of the term pelagic, and it could start to restrict the trawl fisheries in ways that we don't fully understand yet. So that's just something I'm kind of keeping an eye on. And the other one is Oceana, which is kind of an NGO for Ocean Conservancy, or Conservation, held a workshop to present a proposal they have to freeze the footprint on GOA bottom trawling, except for certain sort of existing areas of trawling. Kind of same thing, I'm just sort of tracking this. I attended the workshop and I was very unimpressed with their proposal and the data that they used to come up with this. I included a map for your reference, but they're basically just trying to sort of draw boxes around fishing areas and then shut down the rest of the Gulf to bottom trawling, which I don't think inherently is a bad idea, but I think they gave absolutely no consideration to community or fishermen impacts, and especially under such a rapidly changing climate, and we see that fish tend to move around quite a bit. So I think there's probably a bit of concern about just taking a huge swath of the ocean and shutting it down to fishing. Especially if there is debate about the definition of pelagic versus bottom trawl, and if that changes, this proposal won't account for that. So anyways, I put a link to the full proposal there. You can take a look at it yourself. Other than that, I attended my first North Pacific Research Board meeting and had an opportunity to comment on some of the proposals. I also met with David Bryant of the Alaska Fisheries Science Center, who is working with me to kind of look at the cooperative pollock survey or potentially other industry-driven research ideas. And like I said, we got our representation letter from Joe Sullivan, so I'm working with him to come up with a scope, and as soon as we have that, I'll make it available to the Assembly. And I'm happy to take any questions. Sorry, that was kind of long.
If you're talking, you're on mute.
Oh, shoot. I can't repeat all of that because I forgot what it was. No. So my question is, you said like 10 of the tagged cod went into the Bering Sea, and I know before the same thing, but are cod also tagged in the Bering Sea, and do they ever come back this way, do you know?
Yeah, Mayor Osterbeck, that's a great question. So it's a little bit tricky. So the short answer is yes, they do. We have seen tags of fish that were tagged in the Bering Sea come down to the Gulf, but it's a little bit tricky because the Bering Sea is a huge foraging area, and because there's also a separate population up there, it's much harder to tag fish that are trying to come back down to the Western Gulf because they tend to move around just within the Bering Sea up there. But it is possible, and it has happened. There would just need to be more of a targeted effort kind of near Unimac Pass, I think, to be able to see those fish come down to the Gulf, but it's possible.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you. Question mm-hmm. for Charlotte.
Paul? Yes, Charlotte, on the same lines, I'm just looking at the chart accompanying the presentation on cod, and it shows these arrows like the cod are going straight somewhere, but the red in on the map shows where they were tagged, and what does the tip of the arrow represent?
Yeah, that's a great question, Paul. So I'm sorry I didn't include a legend, but yes, the red boxes are where they were tagged, where they released. And at this point, this map just shows whether they moved and where they moved to, so it's just the pop-up location. They definitely did not move in a straight line. It's just to kind of show how many of the fish moved within the Gulf versus out of the Gulf.
And so I was counting, each line is an individual cod, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
And it shows about 10. I counted a couple of them are pretty close to shore in the Bering Sea. Is that correct?
Yes. Yep, that's correct.
Okay, and then you keep saying we, so I'm not sure. And then, you know, they show tagging up from Kenai or Seward area in Kodiak. But you and the borough were involved in just, and then some Chicknick ones too, but you were involved personally just in those three dots between Sandpoint and False Pass. Is that correct? Or you were on the board up?
Yeah, so. I was personally involved in releasing the tags throughout the entire area. So the PAC States grant that we got was to expand the tagging throughout the Gulf, and we did that charter, me and the project team did that charter during spawning this past February-March time across the entire Gulf.
Okay, and then just one last quick question of the or the total number of tags in those, let's just pick Sandpoint, King Cove, and Sanak, those three areas. How many fish actually were tagged over what period of time?
Okay, so just in 2023, we had 19 tags released in just those three areas. So typically we do 5 per site, but we got 4 free tags, so to speak, from wildlife computers to test out a new smaller type of tag. So we added those extra 4 and spread them across the Western Gulf site. So the Western Gulf got a little bit more than would normally happen. I would have to pull the numbers from all 3 years of how many were done in just the Western Gulf, but 25, 50, so that would be 50, 50, about 70 tags total in the Western Gulf alone over the past 3 years.
Okay, and if I may, Mr. Mayor, I'll just follow up on your question. In the future, there are no plans to tag some cod on the Bering Seaside, say, Sarachev. That's not part of the program, but just the Gulf only on the south side.
Yeah, so actually that's a great question. Hey, you brought that up. So there has been a little bit of shift recently. So we got money through the PAC States grant to release tags in the Bering Sea summer survey. And I think I spoke to this last time, but that didn't happen because there were so many complications on the summer survey. So just recently, we've actually been talking with a boat captain from the Fraser Longline fleet who wants to volunteer his time and the boat in kind to possibly reallocate those tags that were supposed to go out in the summer survey to actually do a winter survey just north on the Bering Sea side. So there is actually talk about doing that in PAC States. Does consider that an allowable cost.
Okay, other questions? Okay, thank you, Charlotte. And then we saved Jackie for last because she has the money. Jackie.
Thank you, Dr. Bax. My report was not in your packet. I apologize, but Beverly did email it to you guys on Friday. I was out with a migraine on the day they were due. I think I need to get glasses, but I don't want to talk about that. So just a quick update on the audit. Even though Sheldon was covering us in ash, the auditors were still able to fly in just a day late. They were here and got their field work done. I think most of it went pretty well. We do have our GASB 87 entries completed and posted for the leases, and now they're just drafting up the financial statements. I believe BDO has provided with the last items that we needed to finish the financial statements. There's still a few more follow-up sample requests that they've been trickling in from BDO for a while, and all of those get uploaded as soon as we receive them so that there is nothing holding up the process. The financial work session occurred since my last report, and I know it was a long day, and I just really wanted to thank everybody for being there and all the engaging conversations. It was a lot of information, and I believe that it was really good for everyone to have all of that, and I'm just appreciative that you guys were there and participating and asking questions and stuff because it made all the work worth it. On the financial policies and procedures, I've got just investment reconciliations and reimbursement request policies for my target goals for this fiscal year, and a large portion of that work's already been drafted. It's just a matter of fine-tuning it and making sure that it has everything in there that I want to be in there, and then I should be able to start focusing on prioritizing next year's sections that need to be worked on. Routine tasks for the past month have been completed, and it's actually the end of the first quarter of the fiscal year, so we just have a few more things to upload for the September financials to be complete. And then we've also had a PERS audit that we're in the process of going through right now, which should be closing up pretty quickly too. And I think they just randomly pick different people throughout the years to audit their PERS program. So all their information they requested had been uploaded and sent to them. Other than that, we've just been doing day-to-day items in the office here, and I'll answer any questions if anyone has any.
Okay. Thank you, Jackie. Questions? All right. That concludes our staff report. So, again, I appreciate all the hard work the staff does and bringing everything to the assembly and keeping everybody updated. So, with that, assembly comments.
Paul, just one quick question. I know we're either sharing a booth or have a booth at Fish Expo, and sometimes in the past, the administration has occasionally talk to the processors from our region at the same time. Are there any plans to do that, or what status of communication with our leading industry in the region?
Well, we've got Ernie set up our regular meeting where the staff goes down and the processors are there, the fishermen. As far as individually, I never put out any meeting requests for each individual processor as of yet, but I believe the processors are starting to put out word that they're going to have different days for different areas to go and talk to them. And I don't know, Ernie, or any of you know any different?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I know the processors, at least the big three, will have representatives at our meeting on November 10th at the Silver Cloud Hotel.
Yeah.
What time is that, Ernie?
Well, we have the room at 8:30. Breakfast is served at 9, and the meeting's sort of at 10, and we have the room until 1. So, it'll be informal.
Isn't that day the third day of the Fish Expo, but doesn't it end early that day, too, the Expo itself?
Yeah, you can't unset up your booth until like 2 or 3 in the afternoon, but it is the last day of the Expo, yes.
Yeah. Other questions or other comments on that? Other assembly members? Okay. Public comment. Hearing none. So the next meeting date is November 16th. It's a special meeting, and it's being moved because of the Fish Expo. So motion to adjourn.
Brenda, second.
General, make motion.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, everyone.